This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, welcome to the Underground. Thanks for coming out, guys. You guys want to hear a joke? Real quick joke? Let's see. My cat swallowed a whole ball of yarn, and so when the kittens were born, they all had sweaters on. All right. See, that's why we don't have jokes here. You don't appreciate the ones we do have. We're talking about our spiritual journey. This is specifically about those on a spiritual journey tonight. And it's been throughout this summer. And I'm going to continue kind of on this line of thought. Specifically, those who are really dedicated to the Christian faith, the Christian walk. And this would kind of be more categorized as spiritual formation, maybe. I kind of like that way of putting it. I want to talk a little bit about a pattern that is seen in spiritual formation, or for those who are on a spiritual journey, walking with God, a huge, widely studied subject. What I want to talk about, a pattern that happens to people that are on this journey with God. Let me read this scripture to you out of Matthew 3, starting with 16. It says, after his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. A voice came from heaven and said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. And during that time the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Just stop there. Kind of demonstrates what I'm talking about. I don't know if you're real familiar with the Christian faith. You've been around it a while. You kind of know what I'm talking about. You see people, and me as well, come to God, and I've seen people, you know, lay down their crack pipes, lay down heavy-duty drugs, or lay down what they're putting their security in life, money, you know, their 401k, their status, you know, whatever gives them security, whatever gives them significance, and they come to God being drawn by God, and they lay it down, they lay down their lives, and God just gives them this powerful sense of peace. When we see people come to God and lay down their protective ways, ways they protect themselves, ways they hide, ways they distract, ways they numb, and they lay them down, and they say it, I'm laying it down, you know, we see this peace come over them, right? And so we see this. I don't know how many of you are familiar with new believers, and you see it all the time. We see it all the time here, especially at Journey Church, you know, big church. Someone will come to Christ and they'll just glow in the dark. You know, they read the word. Man, have you read this? The church should be reading this. What do you mean one chapter a day? The whole church should be reading five chapters a day. You know, what's wrong with all of you? You know, and you just see them like, and they worship and they just get this sweetness and they're just in there worshiping like, what's wrong with all of you? We should all contend for the throne of God, and you just see them, right? And we get that, we see that. Prayer, like, they pray, they show up early, they stay up late. I've seen guys just set on fire that were using so heavily, lives falling apart, and all of a sudden, you know, they're just going for it, right? But those of you who've been around a while, you know what's coming. You know, I experienced the sweetness of God, laying down my own needles, my own lifetime of addictions, all these things that caused me, you know, homelessness, addiction, relationships and stuff. Peace. Presence. Like, wow. Like, I can feel him. Amazing stuff. Right? You can ask my wife, I'd stand out there late at night, 2 a.m, la, la, la. Unreal. But then, just as soon as that came, there came a time when I didn't get the sweetness. Right? Didn't get that presence. I didn't have that moving of God. In fact, not only did I not feel his presence, I got felt absence, like the felt absence of God. That was some tough stuff, guys. That was some tough stuff. Very confusing to me, especially those who have abandonment issues. There's a lot of ministries out there that really take advantage of a person who had the sweetness and now they're experiencing absence. A lot of ministries will come right on in there and go, we know exactly what you need to do. You know, our program of how you're going to get it back, how you're going to chase it, all these things. A lot of different opinions on this. I realize it. You don't have to agree with me. And I remember standing before God and saying, you know, I'm a partaker of the divine nature here. What's going on? You know, I have been joined with Christ. What's up? What's happening? Like, where are you? I'm showing up. How come you're not showing up? I'd say those things, right? I remember one of the first times I spoke at North Star, the halfway house. I stood up in front of these guys. We had like 80 people show up. My wife would cook a four-course meal. We'd haul it out there. It was so awesome. It was just amazing. We were floating on God's presence. It was so profound. And we'd go in there, and I stood up there to speak, and I remember standing up there, and I just remember thinking, I'm going to just lift up in the air. Like, I'm going to just get carried away. I'm going to be, like, I couldn't believe what was happening to me. Like, we'd get in the car, giggles and laughter. Did you see that? Did you feel that? That was amazing. It was like a heat wave. People were going, wah, wah, wah. I mean, it was just so profound, guys. But then, he's gone. I'd get up to speak, flat as a pancake, dry as dust. And I'd go home, curl up in the fetal. Owie. This hurts. Pain. I'd fast. I'd go out 2 in the morning and pray. I did all this stuff. I mean, you guys realize God could actually just blow us away every time we came to church. He could just blow the doors off the place, take us all week to clean the mess up, get ready for the next time. Do you guys realize he could do that? He could come in here with his glory and just blow our minds. He could. Every quiet time you have, speak, custom made, every devotion, every time you read the word, revelation, coming unglued, coming off the pages, he could do that every single time. What is going on? A lot of anger there for me. And for those who have heard me talk about this some, painful stuff followed in my reactions. I introduced this concept last week. This will be the last time I share this. Like I brought it up last week. I won't talk about it a lot after this. You know, maybe I'll bring it up a couple times, but I don't want to get way stuck on this. But this is really cool. I talked about these three chairs. And this is a method. Michelle Chaffont developed this way of doing therapy. Really profound stuff. Really love it. Been doing some good work with this. And so these are the three chairs. This is an internal system you have. This would be the child chair, for those of you who can't see, right? I actually got a child chair, see? And this represents our child, our inner child, our inner little person. We all have it. This is probably around the age of like 5 to maybe 8, this little person in us. This is where we feel happy, sad, lonely, I'm afraid, scared, right? Creative, passion. I can explore the wonder, right? And Jesus says, come to me like a little child. This is an amazing place. This is an amazing part of us. It's very real. If you feel like you're missing creativity and passion in your life, trust, probably be a really good idea to get in touch with this part of you. Because this is where it's probably going to be found. Really cool stuff. All right. Then we introduced this rebellious teenage chair. Nothing against adolescence. This is more of a negative space here within people. It's the rebellious teenager chair. And this is what we create when you realize you can't trust people. When you get hurt. When you realize you're not in Eden anymore. Parents, kids at school, whatever your atmosphere is, you develop this new chair that's going to protect you. It's going to show up for you. It's going to take a stance. It's going to either hide. It's going to prove. right? It's going to distract. It's going to numb. This is where drug addiction sits in this rebellious teenage chair. I'm going to do it. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to cope with it. This is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be in this chair. You ever ask a rebellious teenager, are you feeling scared? You know, what's going to come out of them, right? If you ask them how they feel, do you feel unloved? Not going to be good. It's going to be some serious attitude, right? Shut down or in your face, you know, something here. That's what this chair represents. So in this rebellious teenage chair, this part of us cannot handle emotion. Wants relief right now. And when it steps in and shuts down these feelings, it exiles a very important part of us. Right? Shuts it down. So this part gets exiled. These are what we call the, you know, inner child or the exile part. Crazy stuff in the psychology of this. What I read, shockingly, said 97% of people live in this chair. Can you believe it? Ways I've developed to cope, the front I put on to live and survive, live in this chair. Wow. And what about this? You know, it's buried. How awkward do you feel before you reach for the phone, right? Reach for the food. Grab a distraction. Shut down. Numb out, right? Something that we've developed right here to shut this down. This is intolerable. This is super interesting stuff. Then we have the adult chair here. This is who we are in Christ. This is our adult. I am a son of God. That's who I am forever. That's not who I am right now. This is who I am and who I'm going to be for all eternity. And that's who I'm learning to be and walk in. Who we are forever. Boom. I can handle emotion. I can handle being uncomfortable. I can handle truth. I can see things as they are. In fact, the whole idea here is to connect this guy with this guy. I'm feeling unlovable. I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling frightened. And this part of me can reach. You're all right. You're all right. I got you. It's pretty cool stuff. In fact, when we do sessions, a lot of times you can see people bouncing between these chairs, who they are in Christ, coming out with all these powerful truths. And then this rebellious teenager, when you push them too hard, and then you hear how they really feel coming out. Very powerful stuff here. And you can just map this language going on. Really, really helpful stuff. I really like it. So, back to what I was talking about, when I came to Christ, personally, it's like God put reading the Word, this beautiful formula, like in a bottle, and then he mixed it with a bunch of sugar. So when I read, it was like, yum, 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 super sweet, give me more. And then he took prayer in a little bottle and mixed it with a bunch of sugar, and when I prayed, I would drink it. Yummy. My eyes would roll back in my head. I could just go to sleep. Worship, oh yeah, super sweet. Nice. You know what's weird about this study? I mean, you guys check this out. I mean, some of it is found in the Dark Night of the Soul research. But this has been researched huge, this pattern of presence and absence. I mean, it's an enormous study. Mind-blowing. This is what they found in Christian University of huge numbers of people walking out being a Christian. Crazy stuff. Okay, here's what they found out. Ready? Those who were less mature as a person got more sweetness in their bottle. More presence. Those who were more mature got less. Like when I talk to Derek, Pastor Derek, about, he comes from a strong family. He's a powerful guy. He's got a huge backbone, very mature guy anyway. When you talk to him about his conversion and his Christian experience, not a lot of sugar there. Not a lot going on that way. Rock solid dude. When I talk about mine, I'm like, whoa, I just floated into the kingdom on sugar. You know, you would think it would be the opposite. I thought it was the opposite. I thought that the more mature believers walked in presence, sweetness, just throwing candy off themselves. Like, whoa, just sugar high. That's how I thought mature believers walked in the presence of God, like that. That's what I thought. And the less mature, none. That's just what I assumed. That's not what this has revealed at all. Super interesting stuff. So when I came to Christ, I was basically living in this teenage chair. Porn addiction, drug addiction, attitude, a lot of fear, a lot of fronts. You're not going to get me here at all. You're going to get this front guy. And I came to Christ, downpour of sugar and sweet. This God stuff is awesome. Love it, love it, love it. Everyone should be a Christian. This is great. I can throw my needles away. This is amazing stuff, this whole God stuff. This is real. But see, some people can mistake presence and sweetness with character growth. Did you know that? I did. Happens all the time. Watch a new believer confront the church. I read 10 chapters a day. What's wrong with you? Right? Their eyes come out like they're on thyroid stuff or whatever. How come you guys don't pray more? You need to be praying. The church needs to be praying. Like, I'm here. I'm a giant. And it's so easy when we're feeling the presence of God and we're moved by the Spirit. I am a mature man of God. Nope. Not at all. Really interesting. You know what I found out, guys? I'm talking about me here. This is what I found out. When I read the Word of God and there was no presence, no sweetness, nothing hit me. Guess what? I'm not doing it. Why aren't you reading the Word? Boring. When I would worship God, give Him what He deserves as God, and there was no sweetness, no presence, like I'm out there in my yard, nothing, guess what? I'm going to see what's on TV. Yeah. When I would pray, nothing, flat. Guess what? I'm not doing it. Holy smokes. Like, really? Guess what God was doing? God was lovingly trying to get me to scooch on over, Stan, to the big boy chair. Come on, Stan. Be a son of God. Man. Most people, when they fall in love, you see them sitting there and they're just all looking at each other's eyes, right? My wife and I have been together 13 years. The other night, I tried that just to see if I could bring that back. We're at the table and I'm like, and she's like, what? Right? I tried sitting real close to her. She's like, get off, hot. What are you doing? Wait for me. When people say, I love you. I love you. Right? What they're really saying is, I love how you make me feel. I love what you do for me. True? So true. There's such a big difference from romance and commitment and truth. Wow. Deuteronomy 8:2 talks about God leading the children of Israel I brought you into the desert. I brought you into the wilderness. Why? To humble you, to test you, show you what's in you. I want to show you what's going on. That's why I brought you out here to this nothing land. Wow. Stan, I want to show you what you really love. Man. Guess what, guys? That was not to shame Stan. When God says, Stan, you are sitting flat out in this chair. I want to show you what you really love about me and this whole thing. I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to withdraw all the sugar. I'm going to show you something, son. Wasn't to shame me, it was to teach me, to train me, to form me, to fashion me, to encourage me on to next level. You know, we're always about shame. As soon as God shows us something ugly about ourselves, that's not what he's doing. He's showing and revealing it to us, to coach us, to train us. You know, guys, I want to tell you something, that the judgment seat of Christ, when you stand before God, life review, I want you to know something about our King. It is going to be one of the most amazing learning sessions you have ever had with Jesus. I'm telling you. He's going to show you things you never knew in your judgment about how people were feeling around you, why you were doing that, why you were saying this. Look what this person was going through, and you were doing this, and you were saying this, and this person was experiencing this. I want to show you something. And look at, here's your motive. Here was their motive. Guys, I can't wait. That's going to be a powerful lesson. Bring on the judgment seat of Christ. And I could feel some of you going, no. Fine. Jesus was tempted to create this chair and sit in it. If you are the Son of God, what are you doing without bread? You're God's son, right? Okay, what are you doing in this circumstance? It's so painful. Why don't you just get out of it? God loves you so much. He said all that to you over there in your baptism. Why are you in this situation? Get out of it. Do something to get out of it. Use your authority to get out of your own discomfort. Right? Like, take a shortcut. Right? Make a move. Short circuit the process. If we spend our lives dodging negative emotions, I'm telling you right now, we will miss the next level. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Let me ask you this really quick. In your own formation, in your own character growth, okay, just think back over your life. Think about what you know about development and about growth. What's more valuable, comfort or discomfort? Yeah. Think about it. I love it when we talk to people who have been in war and who've done these amazing things, or, you know, Navy SEAL type guys, or people who have been through some stuff. You know, you never hear them sitting around talking about how comfortable they were. You know, you always hear them savoring the hardest of times when they were crushed, when they were being formed, and when they were being pushed beyond what they could possibly handle. Yet, they made it through, and they became something they never would have been had they not gone through that hell. Whew. Cool stuff, guys. I want you to know, as Christians, this person, and I'm saying this to you, you can do what you want with this. Who you are in Christ, you are an adult warrior. That's why he gives us armor. Son of God knows who he is, knows how to follow God, walks in his ways. Wow. One with Christ. Forever. Wow. Wow. Okay. The person you are in Christ wants new territory, and I promise you this, God will constantly be turning the lights on to show you how much of you is in this chair. Not to shame you, but to show you. Lights on. Look at your motivation, Stan. Look. I just want you to see it. I want you to see it. You know, let's just say that this is your territory. Jesus has for you, and there's mountains and valleys and rivers and all these things. This is your territory. This is your land. This is what God has for you to conquer and to own and to walk in, these mountains and these rivers and these valleys and these all these areas, this vast land. This is like a map. I just rolled out this map. And this is all he has in his heart for you. Jesus, our King, says, this is for you to overcome and occupy as God's son or daughter. This is what I have in my heart for you to walk in and have. This is yours. This is my dream for you. And yet, you're walking in this. That's what he shows me all the time. And he tells us, when you join with the church in his vision for you, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Why? Because you're that dude. You're that guy. Wow. All right, real quick, just to end this, I want to end with a little story. You can play a little mood music to give me a little sweetness in the bottle. I just want to tell you guys this. My wife has a horrific past, right? Terrible trauma. I won't go into it. Just a very, very abusive father. Lots of violence every night. Horrible, right? So she walks in that. She has that. If you make a scary face at her, if someone starts acting real erratic, and she'll get triggered, and her world will get small. Her world will get as small as that situation, right? And she's backed into this corner. That's how big it gets. She's back in that house, in that situation, and there it is, held captive by a person that has this weird energy going on that seems like the same thing as her dad. All this violence, horrible stuff. Well, my wife works at this hotel part-time in North Pole, and I went in there to see her because I'm such a great husband. But I went there to see her, and she was in this trauma trigger mode. And she's like, Stan, there's this guy. He's acting really weird, and he's walking back and forth, and he's coming to the desk, going out to his car, going up to his room. And I could see her go in there. Like, she's triggered hard, like bam, bam, bam. And here's where my poor wife was. That's how big her world was. Her world came down to him and her. That was it. And scary. That was her whole world, my wife. And so we talked about it. And so we moved her over to the adult chair. Said, Glenna, from the adult chair, as God's daughter, what's the facts? Just what are the facts? Not the scary, not all that stuff. What are the facts? And she said, there's a guy acting weird in the hotel. Right? Right? And we scoot this little chair out and get this rebellious teenager part that's going to make her run away and do something that's erratic or keep her all triggered. You know, and what are you feeling? I'm feeling scared. I'm feeling triggered. And we join these two together. Glenna, you're okay. I'm here with you. Here's the deal. If that guy acts too weird, I'm calling the cops. Otherwise, I'm going back to work. I'm going to just act like I was watching a TV show and it got boring and I just changed the channel. He's boring. And see, I saw the guy. I watched him for a while. He had something going on, but he wasn't dangerous. He was just walking around, you know, probably how I would be there if I was there. And she just did it. Bam, right here. She sat in this chair. I'm God's daughter. I'm your beloved. I can do the adult thing. If he starts crossing some lines, I'll call my boss, call an authority or whatever, but otherwise, I'm just going to go to work. There's nothing here. And it's almost like that picture of like a cup of water and you put a spoonful of dye in it, it would color the whole cup. And that's what happened. It became her whole cup, you know? But if you're a 2 mile wide lake and someone dumps some dye in there, teaspoon, whatever. She could look over at this guy with love and compassion and wonder what's going on in his life, what's going on in his world, how can I love this guy, and what's happening with him. And her whole world got big, and she could actually love him, and she had options. She had options. And what happened with her, I'm so proud of her. Guess what? She gained some territory. She gained some territory, guys. My wife gained some territory. Why? She be bad to the bone. Right here. Right here. Man, this is a sweet spot, guys. This is a sweet spot. Where are you living in the rebellious teenager chair? And where's your little child feeling? Needs love, acceptance. What would your adult say to that part of you? Can you join them and walk it out? And keep this other part just out of the equation. I like this method. I like this. Our brain will go along with the most consistent thoughts we think, and it will make it easier to think those things flat out. So let me close with a prayer. And you can close your eyes if you want to. Or you could just sit there and think, let me just say a prayer. I'm going to ask you to just see the territory that is enemy occupied in your life. What does that look like? How big is that space the enemy occupies? What does that look like? What does the land look like? What does the enemy's camp look like? How dark is that scene? And then see you show up as the adult son or daughter with your king and his angels, and you come and you take that territory back. And you see that whole thing uprooted. You take back that territory. You take back that land. You just watch this whole upheaval until that whole area is nothing but perfectly ground soil, perfect, smooth. And then you see the workers come out and they throw seeds on that soil. It's just a beautiful process, just wonderful stuff. And as God does, he waters it, he rains, sun, wind, comes out in weeds, cares. And then see that mighty harvest that will come in an area that was once completely occupied. Trucks and trucks and trucks showing up to pick the harvest coming out of that area. Father, I pray that you would make this real. Whether it takes 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, doesn't matter. This is yours. The gospel applies to the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the wise, to the unwise, to terrorists, to barbarians, to CEOs, to addicts, to homeless people, to middle-aged, to young and old. The gospel's for all of us. The adult chair is ours. He bought it for us. We can occupy it, and we can walk in it. I pray that we would. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. I'll continue on this journey next week.